Grateful that we can gather together like this as your children in this beautiful country of ours in such freedom, Lord. We just say thank you for that privilege. And Lord, even as I share your word, I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word, as it goes out, that it does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish here this morning. And Father, in all that is said, all that is done, we just say thank you, and may the name of Jesus be exalted, and may, Lord, all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you this morning. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Isn't it good to be here? It's always good to be in the presence of the Lord. And so today I want to spend time talking about, and here's the title of my message, Some Guidelines to Living in Victory. Think about that for a moment. Some guidelines to living in victory. Folks, as believers in Jesus, we need to be living in victory. Huh? Jesus paid a huge price for you and I. And he wants us to enjoy this life and have life and life in abundance. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to be reading three verses and then try to unpack what Paul is saying to the church in Philippi here. He says, chapter 3, verse 12, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Folks, we belong to him. He has made us his own. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a starting point. He goes on to say, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do right now, here is one of the pointers that he's going to give us that we need to embrace so that we can live a victorious Christian life. But one thing I do, he says, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind, but there's more. And straining forward, in other words, moving towards that goal, straining forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need to embrace it. There is so much in these, you know, three little verses here. But we need to be those that have a goal. We need to be forgetting what lies behind. We need to be pressing forward into what he has for us. And when we do that, we need to be, how can I say, focused. We need to be determined. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, you know, Paul speaks about this victory that we should be experiencing. And today, there are many, many people out there that are talking about being victorious or saying that they are victorious. In fact, you can go into these bookstores. You go into a bookstore today, and you'll see just so many books that are speaking about success. You know, the 5 steps to success. And the one next to it, it says the 8 steps to success or successful living. It just goes on and on and on. And everyone thinks somehow that it's the latest book that is going to make them successful or the latest book is going to solve their problems. The latest book, you know, will give meaning to my life. If I just read that book, will give meaning to my life and, of course, purpose as well. The thing is this, that many of those books that we see in these bookshops, these bookstores, are actually written by people who have absolutely no history of success, right? People who have no track record of success at all, no experience. All they've done is gone out there and written a book. They might be very good at writing books, but they so often are writing about something that they have absolutely no knowledge of or about. And we need to be mindful, especially what we see in folks on social media today. You know, it's all about that book. Let me just consume it. I want to say this, that if you want to learn about success in life, and if you want to be victorious in life, find somebody who is successful. Find somebody who has had great victory in life. Find that person and allow that person to lead you, you know, maybe mentor you or be an example to you. Find a person that can actually model it as opposed to you and I just going out and reading some manual, right? So, saying all of that, I want to ask us, who is your model when it comes to this? Now, I would say that after the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he walked on planet Earth, I would say that, you know, the most successful Christian that has ever walked this planet has got to be Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. Because Paul went out there and Paul lived life, and Paul lived life to the fullest. And he really made his life count. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us a model here for victorious living. And what's interesting, that Paul says, follow my example. Right? If you don't know who to follow, and some of us today don't know who to follow. If you don't know who to follow, Paul says, hey, follow me. Let me read it, Philippians 3:17. He says, brothers, join in imitating me. So Paul says, hey, just do as I do. You got a problem, you don't know who to follow. He says, follow me. He says, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the examples you have in us. So it's not only me, Paul is saying, but my team. Basically, what Paul is saying to us is follow me as I follow after Christ. And folks, we need to be doing that. We really need to be doing that. Now, the next question should be, well, how is it that Paul walked? Good question. You know, what is Paul's pattern? Really, in today's context, you know, Paul gives us these pointers or keys or steps or whatever you want to call it, you know, on how to live life victoriously. It's all here for us. So the first thing, he actually gives us, you know, just in this portion of Scripture, he basically gives us four pointers, and those are the ones I want to focus on here this morning. The first one is, and this is a big one, is that we are able to face our own shortcomings. We need to look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves, folks, right? Not one of us that is sitting here this morning is perfect. And I'm sorry, that might disappoint some of us, right? You might be very disappointed because you feel that you've just cracked it. Not one of us is perfect. Not one of us that is sitting here today have got it, you know, has it all together. So it's important that we take note of this and remember and hear that each and every single one of us that are here this morning, that we are all work in progress. Tell the person next to you, this is to wake you up, eh? I am work in progress. I haven't arrived yet. But folks, we are work in progress. And the thing is, the starting point, we're talking about living successfully as a believer in Jesus. The starting point is that we have to look in that mirror and we need to take stock of our own lives. We need to do this. We need to know exactly where we are before we can go out and go where we want to go. Isn't that true? That's how GPS works. It really is. You can't program your GPS. If you want to go to Durban, right? You want to go to Durban and you type in, you know, Durban, wherever you want to go. You're not going to get there unless your GPS is able to pick up where you are, where you're starting from. Is that true? And it's the same with us, folks. If we want to progress and live this abundant Christian life that Jesus purchased for us, we need to be looking in that mirror and just being really honest with ourselves. Okay? So the point I'm making is that there has to be a starting point. And the starting point is that you and I are honest with ourselves about who we are, what we are about, and, you know, where we're going. Let's just be honest. What Paul is saying here, he says, I don't claim to have it all together. I don't claim to be successful, Paul says. I don't claim to be perfect. But one thing I do is that I strive to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a deeper relationship with Jesus. So, and basically what he's saying is that, Paul, I've got a goal. I've got a goal. And I'm going to go out there and do my best to reach that goal. So let me say this, or maybe I need to ask a question. What is your primary goal? Is your primary goal in life to become more like Jesus? Think about it. Because this is what Paul is telling us. This is what he's actually telling us. Our primary goal in life is that we should strive to become more and more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, folks, if there is anybody on this planet that could actually claim to have had it all together in life, it would be Paul, you know, Paul the Apostle. You know what I mean. Paul the Apostle. I'm getting my tongue tangled. And why, you know, why do I say that? Because he wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how's that? Two-thirds of the New Testament, Paul wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he single-handedly spread Christianity right throughout the Roman Empire. That's true, right? So he made an incredible, incredible impact on this planet. And you and I are those that are able to benefit from this today. And yet Paul, at the end of his life, is saying, I haven't got it all together. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. Okay? I haven't quite achieved my goal. I haven't quite got there. So here's a fact. Victorious Christians or victorious believers in Jesus never stop growing in the things of God. And I must tell you, over the years that I've been a believer, I've seen people get born again. I've seen people that are so on fire for the Lord where it's just incredible how quickly they've grown. And they reach a certain point in their lives and it's like the wheels come off, right? Not pushing in. We need to continue, folks. This victorious or living as a victorious believer in Jesus, we need to continue developing. We need to continue growing. We need to continue expanding. We need to continue learning. And the starting point for all of us is to get into the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, spend time in the Word of God, allow God the Holy Spirit to speak to us while we spend time in His Word. Now, so victorious Christian living, it begins with, first of all, being aware, like I said, of our own shortcomings. And you know, we don't like to check ourselves out. Is that true? You know, how do they say, you point a finger at somebody, huh? And there's three pointing at you. And we very quick, you know, we to say, you know, so and so. But folks, we need to start off by looking at ourselves. So we need to be aware of our own shortcomings. And one of the shortcomings as believers that we all of us do is sin. Is that true? Now, I said last week that the only reason why we sin is because there's pleasure in it. Because if there wasn't pleasure in sin, nobody would be sinning. Does that make sense? Are we here this morning? Okay. So, folks, what is sin? Basically, it's not complicated. This is just doing something that God doesn't want us to do. He's not happy with. Or not doing something that He does want us to do. So for us, as I say, to live victoriously, we need to be aware of our own shortcomings. We need to be those who are able to face and know what our own faults are, and that we need to be those who are truly just honest with ourselves. We just need to be honest with who we are, because that is the starting point. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:13. Let me read it. It says, he who covers his sins, right? He who covers his sins shall not be blessed. Is that what it says? Shall not be blessed. Right? Folks, this is going to hinder our walk with the Lord. It goes on to say, but whoever confesses, in other words, confessing is just going to the Lord and say, Father, it's me again. I messed up. Here I am, I messed up. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. But not only that, it is then turning 180 degrees around. All right? We don't just keep on repenting and just carrying on, you know, doing the same thing. Is that right? So let me read it again. He says, he who covers his sins shall not be blessed, but whoever confesses and leaves them, in other words, we move away from them, shall have mercy. Folks, that verse, there's a verse, I'm going to quote it to you. This is a verse I believe that every one of us, if somebody wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you should be able to quote this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because that is so powerful. When we mess up, we just take it to the Lord like that. And we just deal with it. I want to read that same verse to us from the Bible in basic English. It says, he who keeps his sins a secret. Huh? In other words, this is a person that refuses to deal with them. Who keeps his sins a secret will not do well. But the one who is open about them and gives them up, there's the instruction, gives them up, will get mercy. So folks, hey, let's just, we must just be honest with where we are, honest with ourselves, honest with the Lord, face the issues, and know that each and every single one of us are a work in progress. Amen. And that leads me to the second point. The second point, and this is Paul telling us, I mean, I'm trying to unpack what he's saying to us, right? The second one about, you know, victorious Christian living, and this is a difficult one for many of us, is what he said is that we have to let go of the past. Let go of the past. And the problem is that many of us believers, we hang on to the past. We hang on to our past successes, and we hang on to our past failures as well, right? And especially the bad stuff. We start to replay that bad stuff over and over and over. And it's like a whining gramophone. You know, that thing just goes on and on and on and on and on. Instead of dealing with it the way the Word of God tells us to deal with it. And basically what Paul is saying to us, he's saying to us that we should not manipulate our memories. Don't manipulate your memory. It says in Philippians 3:13, he says, but the one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what lies behind. Can we do that, folks? Forgetting. Now, they use the word forget. You know that as people, I've heard people say, well, forgive and forget. You can't forget. Is that true? I mean, we all remember, right? But what he's talking about here, you know, when people say forgive, we have to forgive. But basically, he's saying whatever it is that is behind us, that we need to deal with those issues of the past. The way it's worded, forgetting what lies behind. And then that's not all. He says, and straining forward to what lies ahead. In other words, we push on forward, and we do this. When he says straining forward, we do it with determination. Okay? So if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, we have to, folks, stop dwelling on the past. Amen. That's what Paul's telling us. Stop dwelling on the past. And he's saying that we need to be those who are looking forward, you know, to the things that actually lie ahead. So, you know, dwell on the presence, where we are right now, and also looking forward to the future as well. Because the past is the past. Is that true? You know, if we could change something about the past, I know that we all would. But we can't change the past, but we need to know how to deal with the past. And the Bible is very clear on how we actually do that. So, you know, the past is the past, so we need to let go of things. The first thing that we need to let go of is guilt. I talk to a lot of us, and that stuff from the past, there's guilt. And this is where the devil comes in. He's going to play that. He's going to play you like a fiddle, if we allow him. Guilt, right? And yet the Word of God is so clear that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, but he's going to bring that guilt thing to you. And if you haven't dealt with it, you're going to embrace it. So we have to let go of the guilt. We have to let go of the unforgiveness. As I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know, you say, I don't know if I've forgiven that person. Well, it's 70 times 7. You know the story? Times 7, times 70, you know, just keep on forgiving. Just keep on. Because when we forgive, it's not just letting that person off the hook. Okay? It is setting ourselves free. And that's the objective. We need to hand that person or that issue over to the Lord. And when we are those that are able to forgive, we are actually setting ourselves free. So we need to let go of the guilt, the unforgiveness, the resentment, the bitterness, the grudges, and all of these things. Because victory involves learning to deal with the past. If you want victory, we have to learn how to deal with the past so that that particular issue doesn't hurt you when you think about it anymore. It can be a person. Maybe somebody's done something really horrible to you. But if we hand that person over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm handing them over. I'm handing the situation over, you know, to you. I'm laying that person at the foot of the cross with objective so that I can walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for me. And that's what the Lord wants. But the problem is so often we lay it down and then we go pick it up again. Right? We pick it up. Let's not pick it up, folks. And I'm saying if we've truly forgiven somebody and we're doing the 70 times 7 thing continually, that when you bump into that horrible person in the shopping center, right? Okay, what happens? Because when you've really dealt with it, those emotions don't rise up anymore. All right? It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends. It doesn't mean that you have to like them. I'm just saying. But those deep emotions don't just rise up again because, you know, we've dealt with it. Now, it's interesting because even Isaiah, and I want to just read this, you know, two verses from Isaiah, and I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Paraphrased, okay? Don't use the Message as your study Bible, right? But this is what Isaiah says in chapter 43, verse 18. Again, he says, forget about what's happened. Huh? The past. And again, the context is let's deal with it properly so that it's not a heavy thing that we carry. He says, forget about what has happened. He says, don't keep going over old history. And this is what we do. As I said, it's like this is gramophone going on and winding in our ears. Don't keep going over old history. And then he says, be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. As soon as we have dealt with this thing, the Lord is busy. He wants to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the Badlands. So there's something that we have to do so that we can receive the blessing and the favor of the Lord as He opens the way ahead of us. So folks, don't spend time always meditating on the past. All right, whether success or failures. I've said this before, but it ties in with what I'm saying. It's like driving a car. When you're sitting in your car, you've got that big windshield in front of you. Is that right? And you've got your little rearview mirror. You can't drive your car successfully by looking in the rearview mirror. In other words, it's all about the past. What's behind you? We need to be using the windshield, that big windscreen in front of you, so that we can drive well. And from time to time, there's nothing wrong with glancing into the rearview mirror. There's nothing wrong with, you know, just glancing into our history and our past and so on. But let us not be those that just live there, because, you know, we're going to end up having a crash in our car. So you have, you have to look forward, if you want to move forward. It's as simple as that. And that leads me to Paul's third thing. The third thing that, Paul mentions here for us to, be victorious in our lives is that we need to also now focus on the future. That's what he said. So it's not good enough just to stop focusing on the past. I mean, it's good, we need to do that, but it's not good enough. There's more. That we have to now stop focusing on the past, but we need to focus on the future. Okay? And that's what he says, for us to experience, this victorious living and enjoy what Jesus had purchased for us. It says in Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, okay, forgetting what lies behind, and now he says, and straining forward to what lies ahead. Then he says, I press on towards the goal. Press on for the prize, and here's the prize, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So folks, for us to be victorious, we see here, that we need to have a goal. We need to have a goal. Paul had a goal. Remember that for every victory that you and I experience in our Christian walk, there's going to be a battle. Is that true? You can't be victorious. You can't say, I've had a victory and there's never been a battle. And Jesus said you will experience trials and tribulations and difficulties. So we just need to be prepared for it and handle it in a way that he wants us to do it. So the thing is here that if you don't have a goal, and unfortunately many people don't, if you don't have a goal, what happens is that we start to lack purpose. Lack purpose. And maybe I can say this, that there are many, many people that experience deep depression as a result of not having purpose in life and not having a goal. So before we leave here today, it's going to be very clear what our goal is as believers. So if you haven't got a goal and you've got no purpose, by the time you leave here today, you will know exactly what goal and purpose you should have. In fact, let me say that our single goal in life should be to please Jesus. As a Christian, there's nothing more important for you and I as believers for that, okay? And the question is this your goal? Is this my goal? Is this our purpose? Because it's very interesting that if we start to do this, do what he's telling us to do, it's like all the other things in our life fall into place. Because we're making the thing that's most important in our lives, we are making it the most important. And this is what we need to be doing. He says in one, this is also Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 9:24. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Is that true? Comrades, I was thinking as I was reading this and preparing, like the comrades' marathon, all the runners run, but he says, but only one receives a prize. And then Paul tells us, he says, so run, our Christian walk, so run that you may obtain it. We need to make sure, this is a heart attitude thing, this is a commitment thing. We need to be running this race wholeheartedly. And not only is it beneficial here on planet Earth, but it's beneficial in terms of eternity as well. So living a victorious Christian life, folks, you know what? It takes effort. I'm saying it takes effort. And some of us are maybe a little lazy. We need to put the effort into making sure that we run this race. So we, first of all, again, we need to have a goal, and the goal is very clear. It says also in 2 Corinthians 5:9. So this is Paul, again, speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. There's another goal that we should be doing. our aim in life as Christians is to please him. And of course, you know, the most rewarding goal in life is to please Jesus. That's what we do. So, you know, we should all be asking ourselves this question: why am I living? What am I living for? And folks, if we are taking anything in our lives that is more, as Christians, that is more important to you and I than the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's elevated above Jesus, that becomes an idol in our lives. Okay? Anything that's more important in your life and my life than Jesus is an idol. And we need to make sure that we knock that idol, whatever it is, remove it from its position and put it where it really should go. So what am I living for? What is my goal? I think we've covered this, what Paul is saying. You know, what is my purpose on life? Really, is pleasing Christ, again, I'm asking the question, is pleasing Jesus, according to that verse, the most important thing in your life and my life? And then he gave us one more. What number is it? You guys are on the ball. So we're all listening, eh? Isn't Paul great? Huh? That we can actually take these scriptures and unpack them. The final one, in those three verses, you know, for us to experience this, you know, a life of victory, is, folks, that we need to fight to win. Let me say it again. Fight to win. David was speaking about it earlier on when he was standing here. There are too many passive believers, passive Christians. Okay? Whose doctrine is it? Is it Frank Sinatra? Do you want to hear Frank Sinatra's doctrine? Que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Folks, hey, that's not us, all right? So we need to make sure that we in a fight, when you put up your hand to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, one thing happened is that you became part of the army of God, all of us. And any army, there's a reason why we're in the army, because there's going to be battles. There's going to be challenges, like I said earlier on. So again, it's not enough for us just to have a goal. It's good that we've got a goal, but it's not enough just to have a goal. Folks, we need to be determined to reach the goal, because nothing in life is, you know, worthwhile, you know, if we don't put the effort into it. Isn't that true? We have to put effort into something. In fact, let me read just a verse. This is now Paul writing to the church in Philippi, Philippians 3:14. This is what he says to them. He says, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, have you got your Bible here? Because if you got your Bible, put a circle around that word press. A big circle around the word press. And if you've got one of those Bibles that are so beautiful, that are gold-leafed and so on, and you can't write in it, throw it away and go and get yourself a good Bible, all right, that you can write in. Okay? Leave that one on your mantelpiece, but get something that we can. Folks, we need to be writing in our Bibles. We need to be making notes on these things, because it's very interesting. That word press, he says, press on towards a goal. The Greek word actually means to pursue. And when you go and have a look at that word pursue, it is as if it's like when a hunter is chasing after his prey. That's what it is. And if the hunter doesn't get his prey, you know what's going to happen to him? He's going to be hungry. He's going to starve. And that's the sort of commitment. That's what that actually means. It means to pursue, you know, press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And folks, we can see here that Paul, he had determination. He had persistence. He not only had determination and persistence, but he also had commitment. He was committed. He was going to reach that goal. you know, no matter what. And, you know, he was fighting for it. And that's what I'm saying. We need to make sure that we fight to win. There's a battle out there. And, you know, victorious people in life are just ordinary people. Do you know that? Victorious people in life are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. That's what makes us successful. Just being determined. People like that, and this is how we should be. We don't accept, you know, just everything that's dished out to us. We don't just accept failure, okay? And we keep on going. We keep on going, and we don't give up. And this is Paul's encouragement to us. He said that he was going to finish what he started, right? In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And I'm asking us today, be honest with yourself. This is where we you know, kind of self-analyze ourselves. Can you and I make a bold statement like Paul made there? I'm just saying, can we? I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And even here, folks, maybe today you're in a place where you're actually thinking of on giving up on something. You know, it might be, you know, giving up on your job. It might even be, you know, marital issues that you want to quit your marriage, or maybe there's a family member that you've just had enough of. You know, you're just saying enough is enough. I'm out of here. All right. I'm saying to you, well, Paul is saying to us, it's not over until it's over. And I would just like to encourage us, really, just to keep on fighting, keep on fighting. Don't stop fighting. Keep on running. Don't stop running. Just keep on, you know, being persistent in our race. Just continue to strive towards the goal of pleasing Jesus. You know that God says that he will never give up on us? You know that? He's not going to give up on us. He says that he will never, never leave us or forsake us. Philippians 1:6, Paul again, he says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Other translations say, he who started a new thing in you is faithful. He's faithful to complete it. Folks, what God starts, he's finished, and he started something in all of us, right? And he's not going to just leave you and I out there on a limb, you know, and kind of forget about us, okay? And the thing that we need to continue doing is making sure that we're doing good. Tell the person next to you, it's good that you do good. And say to them, you know why? And then tell them, because Paul said so. All right. And this is what Paul said. He says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So we will all reap a harvest, he's saying, at the proper time, if we continue just doing what he's telling us to do and doing good. Carry on doing good. Folks, his desire in all those churches that he planted is that each and every single one of us are victorious believers. Okay, we live in a life of victory as believers in Jesus. So we need to fight. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to run the race. We need to put our faith in God. We need to put our trust in God. We need to make sure that we put our hope in God as well. And our goal, again, here it is, one of the goals I've given us, is that we have a desire to become more and more and more like Jesus. And also that our goal is to please him in all that we do. And if we keep our focus on these things, I can tell you right now, we won't miss the mark. Amen? Flate, flate. Yeah. Folks, there's so much that we can learn from Paul. You know, as I say, I mean, I just, when you see a guy, can you imagine that? Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, went out and wrote approximately 2/3 of it. We're blessed that we can, you know, just take this and unpack it. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer?